It's just got 9:25 on the Monday morning mix, and you are listening to Radio Islam International. The company you keep has an impact on your outlook of life. And the people you associate with, the people you mix with, can either boost your confidence or they can either dampen your spirits. And this is important to understand. So we should all think for a moment, who are our friends? What kind of people do we associate with? Where do we get our confidence from? Where do we learn our traits from? And so psychologists speak about this, that if you are hanging around with people who are highly accomplished, then your spirits also will be high. You would want to achieve things in life. You would want to do better. You would want to accomplish. You would also want to conquer things in life. Because you are associating with people who are high flyers, who are successful, who aim high and they reach for their goals. And if you associate with people who are knowledgeable, people who are highly knowledgeable, then your goal in life will be to acquire knowledge. So can you see, the company you associate with has a very positive or a negative impact on your outlook of life. If you associate with person who are technofundis, then your goal in life would be gadgets, understanding products, understanding items, etc. If you associate in simple terms, whomsoever you associate with, you are going to draw from their personalities, you are going to draw from their traits, you are going to draw from their thinking in life. So always try to surround yourself with people who are knowledgeable, people who are going to make a difference in your life in the positive way, not in the negative way. So it's important to understand who we associate with and what kind of lifestyle they have, what kind of values they share, what kind of mottos do they live by. And if we can understand that, then inshallah it will make a difference in our life also. For example, the Sahaba associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came out excellent human beings. They also aspired to be the Prophet of, like the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in their dress codes, in their goals, in their motto, in their mission, in everything in life. They made the Prophet of Allah their bar and their standard, and they worked towards that. Likewise, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed in the footsteps of Abu Bakr. So the people we associate with will either lift our spirits in life, will either make us reach for higher goals in life, or they will either dampen our spirits. And another form of association is social media. We must understand this, and I want to emphasize on this. We're not only talking about friends who are in real life. We're also talking about friends, the social media friends. Sometimes we associate with people who are depressed online. And so, when you are depressed and you're going to read depressing stories, you're not going to walk out motivated. You're going to walk out more broken. You're going to walk out more depressed, and that's not going to help the situation. So who you hang out with online is also important, is just as important as whom you hang out with in real life, because these circles will then influence your thinking and will influence the way you do things. So if you hanging out with people who are positive thinkers in life, whether it's on social media or whether it's in real life, you will see that your outlook in life will naturally change. Your outlook in life will naturally change. And that's the effect of suhbah, as we call in Arabic. Suhbah means to be in the company of somebody. And this discussion came about when I read the article last week in the Sunday Independent under the life section. The psychologist there was impressing the point that the people that we associate with will either bring us up in life or either will bring us down in life. And he says, it will impact on every sphere of our life and the decisions that we take in life. So if you see your neighbor, for example, is educating his or her son to become a certain person in life, then you would automatically do the same if you are close buddies with that person. And so we need to understand that our friends have a great influence in our life. The company that we keep have a great influence. And we can extend this discussion not only to real people, but also to people online. If a person is constantly reading depressing things or constantly hanging out with depressing people and depressing groups, you're not going to walk away with any positive things in life. So if you are feeling depressed, perhaps you need to look at your circle around you. What kind of people are you hanging out with? Are you hanging out with people who are exuding confidence, good synergy, good energy, or are you hanging out with people who only show you the negative things in life? So your close friends or the circle that you hang out with is important. Choose them wisely. You should choose people that when you meet them, your spirits are lifted. You feel motivated. You feel energized. You feel you can do better in life. And if you are hanging out with people that dampen your spirit, then perhaps you need to make a better decision in life in terms of shunning those people and those doors and choosing better people in life. We also get our happiness from others. Remember that in life. We also get our happiness through others in life. So if the people that we are connected to are not fulfilling that role for us, then perhaps we need to ask ourselves, is it worthwhile being with these people? I mean, you can be with certain people and you always feel insignificant, you feel you are not good enough, you feel that you are a loser, you feel that you haven't done well in life, you haven't achieved anything, then perhaps your company is wrong. And this has a profound impact on your self-esteem. This has a profound impact on your self-esteem, and so we need to understand that. It's 9:32, you are listening to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. We're going to go for a quick breather. When we return, hopefully we are speaking to Mufti Zubair Bayat. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. It is 9:34 and time now for the basic fiqh program of Mufti Zubair Bayat. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We hope that you are doing well this morning, inshallah, Mufti Sahab.
Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana.
Mufti Saab, we pick up on our discussion, the fiqh of children. Just to do a quick recap, previously we discussed children who passed away before becoming baligh. What's their outcome in life? Where do they go, Jannah or Jahannam? Then we also discussed daughters in Islam, you know, the role of daughters. We discussed the pagan era, how it was a stigma to the society, and how in modern day times it's still a stigma for daughters to be born, etc. We also spoke about children and Valentine's, and then we spoke about children and gifting. That was the last discussion we had in terms of the fiqh of children. And today we continue with a similar program of this up.
Yes, Maulana, inshallah ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we will discuss an important aspect of the fiqh of children, and that is relating to aqiqah. You know, this is something that many people are confused about certain aspects of aqiqah, certain masail of aqiqah. So, inshallah, we will discuss some aspects of aqiqah in today's program, and whatever other masail we can discuss, if possible, inshallah.
Wonderful. We remind the listeners that you can pose your questions, inshallah, with regards to aqiqah. You want to know 20 years down the line, you haven't made aqiqah, can you still make aqiqah? Those kind of questions. 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can WhatsApp on the studio number 0727861548 or SMS 48855. Ajib Mufti, we can start.
Okay, first thing, Maulana, is what is the status of aqiqah in Islam? What is the reality of aqiqah? What is the status of aqiqah? So,
should we start? What is aqiqah, Mufti?
Yes, perhaps we should maybe start off with what is aqiqah. So, aqiqah is actually the practice of sacrificing an animal on the birth of a child, and it is considered as a form of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also a means of protection for that child. This is the reason why aqiqah is performed. So just to explain also at the same time that what is the status of aqiqah is, it is a sunnah. Aqiqah is a sunnah, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself practiced aqiqah when his grandchildren were born, Sayyidina Hassan and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did aqiqah on their behalf, and Sahaba used to do aqiqah for the children. For those who can afford it, it is a sunnah, and they should try to do it. They should not avoid it for any reason. One should try to carry out this great sunnah act of aqiqah. If a person cannot afford it, obviously, then there's no compulsion to do it, and there will be no sin for such a person. But if a person can afford it, then he should certainly do it. Otherwise, he will be deprived of the great benefits and reward of the aqiqah. It should be carried out in multiples of seven, as far as the day is concerned. So we should do aqiqah either on the 7th or the 14th or the 21st and so forth, in those multiples. If after that we've lost track, then any day we wish to do the aqiqah, we may do the aqiqah. It is not hard and fast that we have to do it in multiple. It's a preferable thing. And through the barakat of aqiqah, as I mentioned earlier on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ward off calamities and disasters from that child, and the child will be saved from lots of evils. It's a form of safety and hifazat and protection for the child. As far as the quantum of aqiqah is concerned, for boys it is two animals, and for girls or females it is one animal. And the aqiqah can be done using small animals, or it can be done even in a big animal. In other words, a person can cut two sheep or goats for aqiqah for a male, or one goat or one sheep for a female, and a person can take a share in a big animal like a cow or a camel or a ox, a person can take a share in that and aqiqah can be performed from that.
MashaAllah.
And now as far as the big animal is concerned, it could be done even during the Qurbani season. For example, people have bought an animal at Eid al-Adha and they wish to, they're inviting people to take a share with them in a big animal. So a person took a share in that big animal with the intention of aqiqah, so it will be permissible and it will be perfectly in order to take a share in the big animal with the niyat and intention of aqiqah, and that will be considered as valid. The qurbani also will be considered as valid.
Mufti Sahib, there's a question coming through. It reads we were gifted by a non-Muslim with a sheep and we made aqiqah for our granddaughter. Is this accepted?
Yes, there's no problem if the sheep was gifted by a non-Muslim. One may accept a gift from a non-Muslim, and that animal could be used for whatever purpose. If one used it for aqiqah of one's granddaughter, it is quite in order. There's no issue at all. There's no prohibition of accepting a gift from a non-Muslim. Sometimes non-Muslims do give us gifts, and it can be used in this particular manner as was explained. So as these are the aspects of aqiqah. Now when it comes to the meat of the aqiqah animal, then how to go about distributing the meat, here again the same rule applies as that of qurbani. One should give away one third of the meat to the poor, and the remaining two thirds could be distributed to one's relatives and family members, and one third one may keep out of that for oneself. And if a person chooses to distribute all, then also it will be in order. And if he chooses to feed his family using the aqiqah meat, then it will also be in order. And if he chooses to give everything away, that will also be in order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person latitude in so far as the distribution of the meat of the aqiqah, just as we have latitude as far as distribution of the qurbani meat is concerned. So a person can actually invite the family. One can have a meal prepared with the meat of the aqiqah, and one can invite people to that meal. As long as there's no ritual or custom attached to this particular meal. Last night, alhamdulillah, I was invited to the aqiqah of one of our dear friends, one of our muftis here in Durban. And it was a dawat in which he invited his friends and other seniors of the community. So there's no problem at all with serving or preparing meals with the aqiqah animal and inviting family and friends to partake of that particular meal. It will be completely in order to do so. One should preferably also keep a share of that for the poor in that meal. Like in the meat, we give a share to the poor. One should keep a share for the poor if possible in that, but it is not compulsory to do so. Their family can consume all of that too. It is in order, as I explained earlier on. Now, is there aqiqah for a stillborn child? As far as that is concerned, it has not been proven from the sunnah anywhere that aqiqah is done of a stillborn child, because the rules and regulations relating to children don't apply to a stillborn. So therefore there is no clear-cut evidence in the sunnah that aqiqah should be done for a stillborn. So it is not necessary to do aqiqah for a stillborn child. As far as those children for whom one had not done aqiqah, or one was unable to afford to do the aqiqah, or one was unaware of the aqiqah, should the aqiqah be done for them when they grown up, or should one do aqiqah on behalf of oneself, for example, if a person came to learn later in life that his aqiqah was not done for whatever reason. So, yes, the aqiqah can be done for a grown-up person. It is permissible to do so. A grown-up can do the aqiqah on behalf of himself. He can do his own aqiqah. It's not necessary for the parents to do the aqiqah in all instances. And a person could take that meat and give it away to the poor. Though the actual aqiqah is done at time of birth itself, but if for some reason the aqiqah was not done at the time of birth, then it can be done later in life. Even for one's grown-up children, as I mentioned, maybe they have now grown to, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 years of age, and at that time a person couldn't afford it, or was not aware of it, or was not aware of the importance of aqiqah, and did not do the aqiqah at that time for whatever reason, the father, the parents can do the aqiqah on behalf of even grown-up children, and a grown-up can do the aqiqah on behalf of himself as well. So these are some basic aspects relating to aqiqah, which is a part and parcel of our broader discussion on the fiqh of children.
There's a question coming through, Mufti Saab. It reads, what is the ruling on the foy having to give out sinni when a child is born?
Well, look, giving out sinni is different from aqiqah, obviously. But sinni is simply, maybe we should translate it for those who don't understand this word. It's a kind of a little gift, like sweets or chocolates or sweetmeats or something, that is given out on an occasion of happiness. It's like in weddings they give out chocolates and sweets and things like that. That's the sinni. So, for the foy, meaning the father's sister, to give out some kind of sweetmeats or things like that on the birth of the child is absolutely in order to express happiness and joy in this form. When there is some blessing that has come in the family, there is nothing wrong with it. To express happiness by giving things to people and by giving gifts to people and sharing gifts with people, there is nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, sharing gifts with people and giving things to people as a form of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties and favors is something that is actually encouraged. We find in the practice of Sahaba, for example, that Sahabi, when he received the good news of the acceptance of his Tawbah, he gave all his possessions away. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, or he wished to give everything away. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that no, he should not give all away, he should keep some for himself. So it goes to show that when good news is received, a person can give some things out of happiness. When the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, also a similar instance of when the good news was received, they gave away things out of happiness. And like that, there are many instances in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the pious predecessors, that when good news was received, then they distributed some things out of happiness, like sweetmeats or chocolates or something of that sort. So yes, the aunt may do so, as long as there's no customs attached to it and there's no obligation that is attached to it. The moment there's obligation that is attached to it, or it becomes like a customary thing, that is when it will not be in order. But as long as it is spontaneous and it is done out of love and muhabbat, and there's no other objective, and there's no ulterior motive in it at all, then these things will be completely in order.
The next question leads Mufti Saab. If a child passed away 5 hours after she was born, was Akikah supposed to be made?
Yeah, well, now in this instance, because it's not a stillborn child, the child has been born, if Akikah is done, it will be preferable to do so. It will be preferable, although it will not be obligatory or anything, but if they do the Akikah, it will be a good thing, and inshallah, they will gain the benefit, there will be some benefit to be gained out of it, and of course, the reward is undoubtedly secured.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, the next one reads that when I've learned that when I was born, my parents were not well off. Now, alhamdulillah, we are well off. Do I still have to make Akikah?
Yes, as was explained earlier on, that if for whatever reason your parents did not do your Akikah, like in this instance you say they were not well off, so they could not afford to do the Akikah, although they knew about Akikah and the importance of Akikah, but now that you are in a position, mashallah, financially, you can do the Akikah. You should do it for yourself. There is no harm. In fact, there is benefit. As I mentioned earlier on, that Akikah is done with the objective of warding of evil and harm from the individual. So if you do Akikah on behalf of yourself, inshallah, it will ward off a harm and you will be granted safety and protection.
Is the lines are still open, 011-854-1548 or alternatively 0727861548. Mufti Saab, can Akikah be made overseas?
Yes, one can have the Akikah done overseas as well. It is in order. But the preferred method would still be to do Akikah locally. As with Qurbani, we say we try to do a wajib Qurbani locally. And then if you want to send Nafil Qurbani overseas, it's in order, because the idea is to partake of the meat, to distribute the meat, to give the meat out, and you know, to feed the poor, oneself to be involved in these activities, that can be achieved when we do it locally. But if a person, for whatever reason, has to send it away overseas, then that will also be in order.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, coming to the aspect of Akikah, there's a question here. Can one have a braai with Akikah meat? Good question, MashaAllah.
On condition they invite me and you, Maulana.
Good question.
Absolutely. There's no problem at all. The meat of the Akikah can be enjoyed in whatever format. It doesn't have to be curry only. It doesn't have to be cooked in a particular manner, in a particular style. One can have it in the form of braai meat or barbecued meat. For the overseas listeners, they know the word barbecue more than braai. Braai is the South African equivalent or derivative of the word barbecue. So you can have meat in a barbecue format or a braai format. It's all in order. It's all quite in order to do so. The Akikah can be had. Some people love their braais. They love their braai meat and they enjoy their meat when it is braaied. So why not? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enjoy His ni'mat and favors. And as long as it is done in a halal manner, then one may enjoy the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind and merciful towards His servants, and He provides different types of favors upon to them. He is mun'im, one who provides favors to His servants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides His favors and His bounties in different ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the arrangements that a person is able to do Akikah to afford it. And now that you have the meat there, you can certainly enjoy that meat in the form of a braai for yourself, your family, your friends.
Mufti Saab, the next question comes all the way from UK. The listener is Brother Muhammad from Leicester. He says, Assalamu alaikum, is there aqiqah for a person who reverts to Islam?
Yes, this is a very good question actually. If a person who reverts to Islam wishes to do aqiqah for himself, that will also be in order. There is no harm, there's no prohibition for a person to do aqiqah on behalf of himself, even as a revert to Islam. Because remember, why do we say revert? We say revert and we don't say convert, because a person, every child is actually born Muslim. Kullu mauludin yuladu ala fitra. Every child is born on the natural disposition, and the natural disposition is the disposition of Dinul Islam, Dinul Tawheed. Then فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Then it is the parents and the environment that he becomes a Christian or a Jew or fire worshipper or whatever else. So it is that we are born as Muslim. So every child is born as Muslim, and as such then the aqiqah should be done for the child that is born as a Muslim by his nature, by his fitrah. But later, because he had not grown up as Muslim, but later in life Allah gave him tawfiq and reverted to his original way, that is Dinul Islam, so he may definitely do aqiqah on behalf of himself. There is no prohibition for this, and in fact there will be benefits and rewards for doing this aqiqah.
The next one also on similar lines, it reads, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab, what about the minor and the adult children who revert to Islam with the parents?
Yes, one could do for one's minor children and adult children, and the parents could do for themselves as well. If they can afford it, well and good, why not? Think of it, aqiqah, it is a form of a thanksgiving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the bounty of life, and it is a means of warding of evil, and it is a means of providing meat and a meat which can be distributed to people, and it can be given to the poor and so on. So all round there is benefit. If the parents can afford it and they're in a position to do it, by all means they should do so. If they cannot afford to do for all, they could do for one at a time. Say, for example, you have five children, say three boys and two girls. That means you already have to do about eight animals, and then it's the father and mother, one, or again another two and one. So it might be about 11 animals. Oh. They may not be able to afford to do all at one time. So they can do it in bits and pieces, do one or two or three, whatever they can afford in 1 year, then they do the next year and the following year and so on. And in that manner, slowly over a period of time, they can have the aqiqah done of one and all.
Wonderful. Mufti Sahab, we've got about 30 seconds left before we sign off. For any concluding remarks, Mufti Sahab?
I think that should, inshallah, Maulana, cover the various aspects relating to aqiqah. I just want to once more remind the honorable listeners that keep the aqiqah in accordance with the spirit of the sunnah, because it is a sunnah act, and do not taint it with any kind of customs and rituals and so on, because then we will be deprived of the reward and the benefit of this great sunnah act of aqiqah.
Mufti Sahab, Jazakallah khairan for your time, much appreciated, and we hope to speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala, Mawlana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.